Steel Radio. Don't you wish everybody did?
Hello and welcome to killradio.org. You're with DJ Blind Chaos and this is Behind the Bars of America. I'll be taking you through until approximately 1 o'clock this afternoon. And you just heard a news update from the very creative Bennett, who actually told us some very interesting information about the Iraq war and the Bush regime. I won't go into it right at this stage. Don't get me on my soapbox. But yeah, listeners may or may not be aware that up until recently I was with Radioactive Radio San Diego, hosting a show called Doing Time Behind the Bars of America. On a regular basis, Behind the Bars of America, which is the name that I've given the show at Kill Radio, will give regular political prisoner updates, provide listeners with information about upcoming events, discuss occupied territory, colonisation and imperialism. Conferences and protests will also be aired and covered live. The Patriot Act, police brutality and the prison industrial complex will be frames of reference throughout the show on an ongoing basis. Women in prison, black communities, both in prison and out, who are grossly underrepresented in the mainstream media will be given a voice. Music and do-it-yourself CDs will be promoted. Political and social prisoner updates will be aired. We need to basically oppose the new war on dissent. This particular show is dedicated in honour to Black History Month and in support of Mamia Abdul-Jamal being free from death row. This show will feature comments against capital punishment by prison abolitionists, including Angela Davis and Rochelle McGee, who is a jailhouse lawyer, and others. We will also be crossing over to Australia, where we will be interviewing possibly an arrestee from the G20 protests, which occurred in November last year, and where there was massive police brutality and police repression. This particular person was arrested as a result of the G20, and we'll be discussing later on in the show the legacy of torture and the war against the Black Liberation Movement. Before we go into a collection of speeches by Jello Biafra and other prison abolitionists, I'll just announce a particular event that's going to happen in February at the Southern California Library. I was actually going to be interviewing Michael from Anti-Racist Action today about this event, but unfortunately he was unable to make the interview, so I'll read out the announcement. Former Black Panthers, target of new COINTELPRO attack. Hank Jones, the late John Bowen, Ray Burak, and that's spelt B-O-U-D-R-E-A-U-X, Harold Taylor and Richard Brown. Surviving victims of a torture-based frame-up have been indicted on 35-year-old charges. Help free them and all political prisoners. Los Angeles Premier, Saturday, February the 17th, 4 till 7 p.m. at the Southern California Library. The address is 6120 Vermont, LA. In a glaring manifestation of the Bush strategy to legitimize torture of enemy combatants in the war on terror, the FBI and California police recently arrested 8 aging former Black Panthers, charging them with an alleged conspiracy to kill cops 35 years ago. The truth is there was a real conspiracy by the cops and the FBI to kill Black Panthers. Known as COINTELPRO, this Kallenstein dirty war was carried out inside the US through assassinations, frame-ups, mass arrests and military-style assault against the Panthers. Now, as the Black Liberation Movement is pushing the new Democratic majority in Congress to reopen hearings into COINTELPRO, prosecutors trot out a totally discredited case. It was already thrown out of court once because it's based on the documented torture of the Panthers carried out by the New Orleans police under the supervision of the San Francisco police and federal authorities. Several of the defendants were themselves tortured, and the only testimony against them comes from another torture victim who told the police what they wanted to hear. Come to see this new video documentary made just before the indictments in Benefit Show. It's a benefit show to support their defence. Learn how you can support the Panther 8 and get involved with the struggle to free all political prisoners. Sponsored by the Jericho Amnesty Coalition, LA. Join in the struggle to free political prisoners. For more information, call 310-495-0299 or check out the website www.geocities.com/Jericho Amnesty Coalition LA. So I just thought I'd announce that event. I'll just quickly give listeners some preliminary information about some of the things that are coming up next on the show. Basically, what we will be doing is looking to play some Jello Biafra. It's a spoken word album, and he gives a speech on the death penalty, and it's very interesting. And also, it's from an album, a spoken word album. It's titled "If Evolution Is Outlawed, Only Outlaws Will Evolve." So we'll be looking at that. And the other piece that we'll be playing, it's called "The Murder of Mamia Abu-Jamal," and that's also by Jello Biafra. Then you'll be hearing some excerpts from a CD called "Prisons on Fire," and that has a lot of. You can get that from AK Press actually, and that has a lot of information about Black Power and the global revolution. It also talks about the Black Panthers, COINTELPRO, and talks about George Jackson as well. And Angela Davis will also be one of those speakers. So stay tuned, listeners. You're with killradio.org, and we're broadcasting from the studios of Los Angeles, and I'll now play you the collection of speeches.
How many of you out there support the death penalty?
Yes!
Come on, out of the closet. I notice people are answering this way, too. I mean, one of these I did recently in St. Louis, all the yeses came from the bar. Personally, I've had a real problem with the death penalty ever since I was about 2 feet tall for one simple reason. What if they've got the wrong person?
Thank you!
Oh, no, that's not supposed to happen. Would cops ever lie in this country? I agree. Well, not so funny for people who get locked up for crimes they didn't commit. And since 1993 alone, 21 people have been set free from death row, free from prison, when it was proven they did not commit the crime. And this is after... What's that?
What if they have the right one and you know them?
Well, you don't kill them, I don't think. You know, no other industrialized country in the world has the death penalty except us. China has it. Nigeria has it. What's that?
Texas, a whole other country.
Some people have said that about Oregon, too. And that Portland and Oregon are two separate countries as well. Anyway, what I'm getting at with the death penalty is that it does happen to the wrong people, and for that reason alone, it should not be there. For economic reasons, it costs way more millions of dollars to kill somebody than to just sentence them to life in prison if they really did do some horrible crime. Well, I did say this was the Kip Kinkle Comedy Hour, didn't I? I mean, if he'd just grown up a little few more years and put on a necktie, he could have joined the OCA in the National Rifle Association. And they would have said, come right in. We're glad to have you. Anyway, the best known person who is most likely innocent of a crime, who's on death row right now, and he's got one more appeal left before he gets killed, is Mumia Abu-Jamal. Black Panther activist, respected radio journalist. And a while back, the label I have, Alternative Tentacles Records, put out a Mumia Abu-Jamal spoken word album, a split release with a band called Man is the Bastard. You should try and find this to hear what he has to say and realize what kind of a person they're trying to kill here. So this is for him. This is only supposed to happen in the movies. Henry Fonda in The Wrong Man. Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. North by Northwest. Thin Blue Line. An innocent person, when they least expect it, falls into an unbelievable chain of events and finds themselves accused of a crime they could not possibly have committed. Every step in the justice system goes wrong. All seems hopeless as the camera rolls closer and closer to the death chamber until finally, at the very last minute, the authorities are proven wrong and the accused is set free to live happily ever after as the credits roll. After all, this is America, where these sort of nightmares do not happen. Because our justice system is fair. Our justice system works. Now imagine you are a respected, award-winning, and courageous journalist whose news reports are sometimes critical of a notoriously violent and corrupt police department. Suddenly, the nightmare happens to you. Shot through the liver at the scene of a crime. Instead of helping you, the cops beat you as you lie on the sidewalk and allegedly beat you again inside the hospital. Not in Haiti, not in China, but in the United States of America. When you wake up from surgery, the nightmare is still there. You are the one accused of what the corporate media tells us is the ultimate unforgivable sin, killing a police officer. You have no criminal record. Ballistics tests don't add up. There is plenty of evidence that you did not and could not commit this crime, but the nightmare just gets worse. Evidence that could clear you disappears. Witnesses disappear. A judge who has sentenced more than twice as many people to death than anyone else in the United States denies you a competent lawyer and denies you the right to defend yourself. Appeals are denied by the very judges who ruled the opposite way in almost identical cases. Not in Mexico, not in Nigeria, but in the United States of America. And unlike the movies, this time a headline-hungry governor salivates like a giggling crocodile, eager to put a black man to death with a stroke of a pen to hold up as a trophy to enhance his political career. Why is our government so hell-bent on killing Mumia Abu-Jamal? Why are they so afraid of him? Of his voice? Of his way with words? to the point where even a poem about him and the frightening government lawlessness in his case is banned from national public radio? Is it what he says about our country and ourselves in words so powerful and eloquent that our children may one day study his now banned radio commentaries in school the way some now study the last words of Bartolomeo Vanzetti before he and Nicola Sacco were executed by the U.S. government in 1927 for a crime they did not commit? The real crime being they were anarchists. They were labor union activists. And if that's not enough, they were immigrants. What have we become? What are we letting ourselves become? This isn't the movies. This is what America has become. A 1995 FBI investigation leads to six Philadelphia police officers pleading guilty to assault, framing defendants, stealing money, lying to obtain search warrants, and more, resulting in more than 100 criminal convictions being overturned, yet still no new trial for Mumia Abu-Jamal. And what of all the other wrongfully convicted human beings without Mumia's gifts for communication, who are caged like animals in our mushrooming prison industrial complex system, waiting to be killed by our government to satisfy Generation X acute America's sick thirst for human sacrifice and modern slavery? When Nigerian environmental and native rights activist Ken Sarawiwa was hanged on trumped-up murder charges, the Nigerian government and Shell Oil were condemned all over the world as outlaws. Now we are the outlaws of the world in the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. And as more and more wealth gets sucked upward by people who don't need it, and mass rage toward corporate America swells closer and closer to the boiling point, the official response is to keep the lid clamped on tighter and tighter and tighter through more and more police state actions, just like the ones we fought in World War II to eliminate from the face of the earth. If this is allowed to keep going, what has happened to Mumia Abu-Jamal could happen to other innocent people, like three guys in West Memphis, Arkansas, who were convicted of the brutal murders of three small children. One is on death row, the other two got life. The evidence used to convict them was they wore black clothing and listened to heavy metal. Free the West Memphis Three. If allowed to go far enough, this could happen to anyone. It could happen to me. It could happen to you.
How Black is our History Month. For years, decades now, folks have celebrated Black History Month with a plethora of events. There will be movies, book readings, poetry, concerts, and the like. Coming as it does on the heels of the nation's celebration of the life of Martin Luther King Jr., much of what will be heard will no doubt echo that event. But Black history is far richer and far deeper than King. Reverend Dr. King, who has been edited into a safe, sweet, nonviolent, modern-day Christ-like figure and icon of peace, forgiveness, and forbearance, has himself been transformed into a one-dimensional figure which ignores his fullness as a growing, thinking, developing man. He was far more radical than many of those who now call his name are ready to admit. There will be little, if any, remembrance of the men and women who fought for freedom in far more aggressive and militant ways. While some may hear the occasional names, usually they too are softened and sweetened with time to make them safe historical morsels for white corporate consumption. It's doubtful that the name William Parker will be shouted out, even though over a century and a half ago he led the Christiana Revolt in Pennsylvania, which because of its nature sent shockwaves across the country, so much so that historians of the era, like James McPherson and Philip Foner, considered Christiana to be harbingers of the Civil War to come. Parker, his wife Eliza, and other members of the Special Secret Committee, a black self-defense group, fought against slave owners and U.S. Marshals who wanted to send people back into slavery. The Parkers and their neighbors fought with guns, machetes, and sticks. Parker and his clan of freedom fighters had to flee the U.S. to find freedom. The Christiana Revolt of 1851 should be on millions of lips during Black History Month, but there will be no movies, no special notices in the corporate press, and few scattered references to this signal event in the history of the struggle for freedom. And while we may know the name of the famous rebel, Nat Turner, how many of us actually celebrate his memory? His fight for freedom echoed around the world, for it showed that the violence of slavery would be answered by the violence of the oppressed. For what was slavery but violence, and resistance against that violence but self-defense? I doubt that the name Charles Delon will elicit the least flicker of recognition, but he was the leader of a slave revolt that rocked New Orleans in 1811. The revolt aboard the Amistad is known to many, due in part to movies. But the Amistad wasn't the only one. Ships like Little George were seized over a century before the Amistad. But today, who knows its name? Here, in 1730, some 96 captives seized the craft and in 9 days successfully sailed back to Africa. 2 years thereafter, Africans aboard the William did the same thing, set the crew adrift, and sailed back home. The late, great Herbert Apthecker, in his classic American Negro Slave Revolts, recounted over 250 such rebellions against the vile slave system. Coming closer to our time, how many of us will look back, not centuries, but mere months, to the horrors and hypocrisies of Hurricane Katrina? For black history didn't end centuries ago, and didn't begin with the Civil Rights Act. It's an ancient history, and also as present as yesterday. Katrina, the ravages not of weather, but of government, as Black Arts Movement poet, playwright, and essayist Marvin X put it eloquently in his recent Beyond Religion Towards Spirituality. We have tried their sham democratic elections to no avail, as we saw in the 2000 general election when our votes were discounted. Between our treatment in the 2000 election and Katrina, what else do we need to know about American democracy? Or part of no, don't you understand? Both events revealed America to be nothing more than a banana republic with respect to us. We were treated worse than dogs in both respects. Black History Month, a time to remember that which the corporate culture wishes is forgotten. A time to remember rebellion, resistance, and what it means to be black in the white nation today. From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
Rochelle McGee, prison activist and jailhouse lawyer, still in prison for his political resistance.
Slavery is something that is being practiced by the system under the color of law. Slavery 400 years ago, slavery today is the same but with a new name. They're making millions and millions of dollars off of enslaving blacks, poor whites, and others daily. Peoples who don't even know that they are being railroaded.
George Jackson.
The only way the oppressor can maintain his position is by fostering, nurturing, building contempt for the oppressed. The brutality really leads to more resistance, and that's what we're working for, revolution. The institutions that buttress the establishment have to be assaulted.
Hugo Pinnell, prison activist and leader, still in prison for his political activities and resistance.
Well, I'm a revolutionary in the sense that I believe that what the word means, to change something, you know, in a big way. There's many changes that got to happen in order for the people on the bottom, the people like black people, Latinos, and, you know, in the United States and throughout the world. I feel that there are many things that has to happen before we can get justice.
The Soledad Brothers case emerged as a focal point for a growing movement demanding changes within California prisons. It was a time when the American status quo was shaken by black rebellion in more than 100 cities, as well as the mass movement against the Vietnam War.
These ideas were developed against the backdrop of progressive revolutions transforming the globe.
Angela Davis, prison abolitionist and University of California professor.
The struggles of the Vietnamese people, for example. The fact that increasing numbers of countries in Africa were achieving their independence. And today people tend to think about the movements of the 60s as movements that were very separate, nationalists, racially defined, because they're looking at them through the lens of what is generally considered to be identity politics today. But as a matter of fact, the black power movement per se was not an exclusive movement. There were people of all racial, ethnic backgrounds involved in that movement. There was a connection with global movements. And there was a connection with the Young Lords, the Brown Berets, the American Indian movement. We were part of a global revolution. There was no question about the importance of making those connections and building those bridges.
Many of us were going into prisons during those days, especially from 1960. Nine through the latter 70s, where some 1,800 arrests. Fred Hampton's murdered in Chicago. Mark Clark is murdered. The eight or nine other Panthers are taken to jails and wounded. The whole New York chapter was under attack, and everybody was imprisoned. The wave of repression and war against our Black Panther Party chapter in Los Angeles, where there was this four-hour gun battle. The police shootout with myself and Cleaver, where little Bobby Hutton was killed April 6, 1968. So it was truly a war against our black communities.
Just like in the South, the Deacons for Defense had to be formed to protect themselves from not only the police, but the attacks of the Klans, as black people, you know, were in quest of securing their civil rights. So the same thing occurred here in the prison system. It culminated into a militant wing of the prison movement. And their task and responsibility was to protect the rights and lives of black prisoners at large.
You'll never silence the voice of the voice. you go.
And you're back with killradio.org. This is Doing Time Behind the Bars of America. And basically, the song that you just heard is called Voice of the Voiceless, and it's Rage Against the Machine, and it's from the album Battle of Los Angeles. You also heard, as was said at the beginning of the show, a collection of speeches by Jello Biafra regarding the death penalty, and you also heard another CD, which I announced at the beginning of the show, in regards to some prison abolitionists, including Angela Davis, also talking about the death penalty and a host of other topics to do with prisons and political prisoners. Now, on the show, I was going to interview an arrestee a young man who was arrested as a result of the G20 protests that happened last November. This particular person is unable to come on air. Often what tends to happen with a lot of the arrestees is that there is a lot of trauma and a lot of pressure placed on these people, and some of them have so many things going on that sometimes they can't come on the air to speak. I will be bringing you live coverage in the next 2 weeks in regards to this particular arrestee, and he will be coming back in a couple of weeks to speak on his experiences. I'll also be interviewing some human rights attorneys on my next show in regards to the G20 protests. So stay tuned to Behind the Bars of America on a Tuesday in the next 2 weeks from 12 noon. And if you don't catch the show, you can also download it from the archives. Today's show is dedicated to Black History Month. And I wanted to make an announcement of a particular event coming up. And it's called From South Central to Skid Row, a look into the corridor of poverty. On Saturday, February the 10th, 2007 at 2 p.m, there will be an event in Los Angeles, and the address is 456 South Main Street, Los Angeles. And try to come to this event because it sounds really interesting. It talks a lot about the housing crisis in Los Angeles. And in fact, there are a series of protests and base camps that are happening to try and address this issue and to try and look at how the working poor and also the youth are oppressed. So try to come to this event on Saturday. It promises to be very informative. Now to move on to the American Indian Movement, and I wanted to speak about a very well-known activist and political prisoner, leader and warrior, Leonard Peltier, who is still in prison. And actually today, the 6th of February, today is the 6th of February, isn't it? Yeah, it is. The 6th of February 2007 marks the 31st anniversary of the illegal arrest and false imprisonment of political prisoner Leonard Peltier. American Indian Movement activist Leonard Peltier needs us now more than ever. Since his move almost 2 years ago from Leavenworth Federal Prison in Kansas to federal prison in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, support continues to exist, but our actions must be diligent and unrelenting, as it was the day he was arrested 31 years ago. Mr. Peltier's defense committee continues to organize out of an office in Lawrence, Kansas. Originally, the office was strategically located near the prison where Mr. Peltier was incarcerated. Overcoming the geographic challenges for both the committee and Mr. Peltier, international support continues to exist from Belfast, Ireland to Portland, Oregon. Supporters and advocates of Mr. Peltier's release are requesting written letters and monetary donations to be sent directly to him in prison this week as a stand of solidarity with a man who has given his life to Indigenous freedom and liberation. Mr. Peltier is a threat to a corrupt government, corrupt officials and corrupt system. Yes, he is a man, but he is also an international symbol of resistance. This article is actually taken from a women's list, which concentrates on women in prison. And in fact, this particular group, which is the Southern California Women's Prison Association over in San Diego, is honouring Leonard Peltier on their list. Demonstrations, film showings and teach-ins are scheduled around the world to mark the 31st anniversary of the illegal arrest and incarceration of Leonard Peltier. It is time to bring Mr. Peltier home. Free Leonard Peltier. And I'll give you his address because I think he'd be a really inspiring activist to write to. And in fact, I do believe also that he's an artist and he does a lot of really excellent paintings. Please write Leonard Peltier. Leonard Peltier, his prison number is 89637132, USP, Lewisburg. It's spelt Lewisburg, US. And I'll spell this, PENITENTIARY, P.O. Box 1000, Lewisburg, PA 17837. So this article was actually taken from, it was written by an amazing woman, Janice Jordan, who's from the Peace and Freedom Party, San Diego, California. Moving on right along, this show is dedicated to Black History Month. As I've already said, defend former Panthers arrested on 30-year-old charges. Hank Jones, John Bowman, deceased. Ray Burex, Harold Taylor and Richard Brown. Five of the others at a recent Oakland event. And actually after that particular event, which looked at a premiere film that's being shown in Los Angeles on Saturday, they were all indicted. And in fact, Herman Bell and Jalil, also known as Anthony Bottom, are also in prison for life sentences in regards to alleged killing of cops. And now there are new charges given out to the Black Panthers. Just wanted to read out... Actually, I think it might be best if I perhaps go into some music at this stage, and after the music is over, I will give you some fresh coverage from G20.
Slam, bam, I come on the scene, but like gasoline, you can tell I'm in the tank, like money in the bank. I smell appealing, but I'm toxic, can send you reeling without an inkling. Keep you thinking, cause you gave cash to the feds, left your school district for dead, fucked you up in the head, but still they saying nothing's wrong, selling fire water by outlawing the bong. Still believing the system is working, while half of my people are still out of working. Anonymous notes left in the pockets and coats of judges and jurors from Frisco to Jersey. Threats and protests, politicians, mob debts, trumped up charges and phony arrests. Staged a lethal injection the night before the election, cause he got donation from the prison guards union. Oh my God, him and my, they got us doing suicide singing. Oh my God, him and my, they got us living genocide singing. Oh my God, him and my, they got us living suicide singing. Oh my God. Listening to my stethoscope on a rope, internal lullabies, human cries, stumps in silence, the language of violence, algorithmic, cataclysmic, seismic, biorhythmic. You can make a life longer, but you can't save it. You can make a clone and then you try to enslave it. Stealing DNA samples from the unborn and then you coming after us because we sampled a James Brown horn. Scientists whose god is progress. A four-headed sheep is their latest project. The CIA running like they're Jones from Indiana, but they still won't talk about that Jones in Guyana. This ain't no cartoon. No one slips on bananas. Do you really think that that car killed Diana? Hell, I shot Ronald Reagan. I shot JFK. I slept with Marilyn. She sung me happy birthday. My, oh my God. In my mind, they got a slipping suicide singing. Oh my God. In my mind, they got a slipping genocide singing. Oh my God. In my mind, they got a slipping suicide singing. Oh my. Got lipstick on the collar. The whole media started to holler. But I don't give a fuck who they screwing in private. I wanna know who they screwing in public. Robbing, cheating, stealing, white collar criminal, McDonald eating. You deserve a beating. Send your home a weeping with the fat bill for your Caribbean weekend. But just about anything they can bust us. False advertising saying horrors of justice. You telling the youth don't be so violent. Then you drop bombs on every single continent. Mandatory minimum sentence. Cause he got caught with a pocket full of medicine. Do that again, another 10. My independent is so mad I wanna bomb an institution. Singing, oh my God. In my mind, they got a slipping suicide singing. Oh my God. In my mind, they got a slipping genocide singing. Oh my God. In my mind, they got a slipping suicide singing. Oh my, oh my God, oh my God, and we say no.
I speak from Pennsylvania's death row, a bright, shining, highly mechanized hell. In this place, a dark temple to fear, an altar of political ambition. Death is a campaign poster, a stepping stone to public office. In this space and time, in this dark hour, how many of us are not on death row? From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
And you're back with Behind the Bars of America. It's been one of those days. Welcome to Guerrilla Radio at killradio.org in the studios of Los Angeles. And you just heard a couple of really amazing songs and spoken word. And this show is dedicated to Black History Month. In case people have just tuned in, this is killradio.org. And you heard a song by Michael Franti and Spearhead. It's called Oh My God, and it's from the album. I've forgotten the name of the album, but shit happens. Oh, Stay Human, that's right. Yeah, you're from the album Stay Human. And you also heard Mumia Abu-Jamal from an album called Man, from a band called Man is a Bastard. And it's from Alternative Tentacles. It's from off a compilation CD. So I'm now going to bring you some coverage from G20. This is Blind Chaos, and you're with killradio.org. Wanted to read out just a snippet from an Australian newspaper called Anarchist Age Weekly Review, and I'll just read it out. I'm astounded by Mr. Steve Brax, the Victoria Police Association, and the media's hysterical response to the call for the Office of Police Integrity to investigate police contact during the G20 protests. Over the past 10 weeks, the thousands of people who protested against the G20 meeting in Melbourne have been subjected to a vicious and scrupulous campaign in the mass media that makes it difficult for the 29 people involved in the G20 protests charged with offences to receive a fair trial. It is important to remember that a special police task force for the last 10 weeks has been poring over video footage and tens of thousands of photographs has only found enough evidence to lay charges against less than 5% of the people involved in the G20 protests. Considering that all of the 29 charged have been granted bail, many on their own surety, the charges may not be as serious as first made out. The reaction to the G20 protests by the federal and state government, the Victoria Police Association and television, radio and newspapers has been a complete overreaction. If 5% of protesters have been charged with offences committed during the protests, it is quite possible that in the volatile atmosphere, 5% of police may have also overstepped the mark. For the Premier, the Victoria Police Association and the Fourth Estate to preempt the findings of the Office of Police Integrity's investigation by claiming the police have done nothing wrong shows contempt for an organisation that has been instrumental in having corrupt officers from the disbanded drug squad convicted in court. In the former drug squad member's case, the media was unable to inform the public about the trials until officers involved in the trials were found guilty and set for sentences. In contrast, the G20 protesters who will be facing the courts in the near future have been tried, judged and executed in the mass media. I am sure if those convicted police officers had been vilified in the media in the same manner arrested G20 protesters have been vilified, the Victoria Police Association would have been campaigning to have the charge against their members dismissed. There is more, and this is still in Australia. Just in case you thought they had finished, there is more. The great thing about living in Australia is that Parliament can legally remove any of the few rights and liberties you still enjoy. Currently, a parliamentary inquiry is taking place into extending the extraordinary powers the Australian Crime Commission and the Australian Federal Police enjoy. Under the new legislation, federal investigators would be able to legally carry out secret searches of homes and other premises under delayed notification warrants. In simple English, they can legally search any home in the country at any time and come up with an excuse later on to justify their actions. They will be able to access information on electronic devices, including mobile phones, without a warrant. They will be able to hide their identity in court, and both agencies would enjoy the powers the Australian Crime Commission now enjoys. They would be able to legally coerce witnesses and suspects to answer questions. The Australian Crime Commission and the Australian Federal Police would also be given immunity from prosecution if they carried out unlawful acts while conducting covert operations. If they are given these powers, police would be able to legally instigate criminal activity and entrap people. Even authorised civilian police informers will be given immunity from prosecution for instigating criminal activity. The Senate Legal and Constitutional Committee will be reporting on these proposals within the next week. Considering the government and the opposition's past record, I am sure the Australian Crime Commission and the Australian Federal Police will get everything that is on their wish list. And this is actually... So those articles were actually taken from the Anarchist Age Weekly Review, which is an Australian paper, and you may want to Google that and see if you can get a copy, because Joseph Toscano, who is a well-known anarchist in Australia, has written and published many articles, and in fact was one of the leaders of a campaign that was that was against not socializing medicine in Australia. Now here's another article. Police are furious that officers who faced off against violent protesters at the G20 riots will be investigated. A probe has been launched after the Office of Police Integrity was called in by a legal centre to examine police conduct during the city mayhem. Federation of Community Legal Centres lawyers are believed to have lodged complaints, including improper use of batons against protesters. The OPI has asked that Victoria Police, Ethical Standards, detectives have detectives investigated. Police Command said last night the allegations would be taken seriously. A police task force set up after November's summit of the Group of 20 Nations has so far charged 29 protesters with serious offences, including riot and affray. Detectives are believed to be looking for dozens of others involved in the chaos, which left four officers and two protesters in hospital. One officer's wrist was broken and water-filled barriers were allegedly used as weapons against police, who say they were bitten, punched and kicked. They also say they were pelted with bottles and balloons filled with urine by masked protesters. Police Association Secretary Paul Mullett said the G20 officers should not be investigated. Our members were treated appallingly, Mullett said. It was our members who were violated and abused. They, protesters, were there for one purpose, to cause disruption. Fitzroy Legal Services Acting Executive Officer Anthony Kelly said protesters and members of a Federation of Community Legal Centres Human Rights Observer Team were among witnesses. The Observer Team is still compiling its report on police behaviour, which will be based on first-hand accounts, photographs and video footage. A preliminary report released last month raised concerns about claims of police use of deliberate and dangerous overhead baton strikes. The failure to issue warnings to protesters before the use of force, baton charges and horse manoeuvres. The arbitrary arrest and detention of a man not involved in the protests. The report also notes some groups and individuals showed great aggression and deliberately provoked police. This included verbal abuse, property damage, throwing missiles and physical assault. Mr. Kelly said he couldn't comment on specifics of the complaint. It's in the very, very early stages of investigation at the moment, he said. A former top riot officer said he hoped no police careers would suffer. Jeff Mawkes, a former inspector who spent 19 years in the false response unit, said it was bizarre that police, who seemed to have come off second best at G20, were now the target. We lose and we've still got to cop a writ, Mr. Mawkes said. I don't understand what they're complaining about. What do? Let them, protesters, run amok? Mr. Mawkes, who retired last year, said there were still 53 writs outstanding against him over police tactics at the violent World Economic Forum demonstrations of 2000. He said internal disciplinary charges relating to excessive force allegations hung over his head for 7 years after the Richmond Secondary College protest of 1993. Victoria Police said in a statement it took all allegations seriously and any police conduct matters would be thoroughly investigated by ESD, overseen by the OPI. Victoria Police remains disappointed at the behaviour of a number of protesters at the G20 summit, which saw several officers injured. Some endured bite marks and had broken glass and balloons filled with urine thrown at them, it said. Yeah, so I just thought I'd read out some of the articles arising out of the G20 protests, and I find it really interesting that the mainstream media is actually demonising protesters and making police out to be these little tin gods. I was actually there at S11 in 2000, and as far as I'm concerned, I myself witnessed lots of violence that was advocated by police, and people were being beaten up with batons, and I'm sure it was far worse this time. And in fact, a woman was hospitalised with broken ribs. There was actually a little dancing party happening at the museum in protest against the G20, and police used a lot of excess force. So hopefully Human Rights Observer and the Federation of Community Legal Centres in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia, will be able to file these complaints and hopefully the police violence can be investigated in more detail. So stay tuned to killradio.org, Behind the Bars of America, for ongoing coverage on the G20 protests, and you'll be hearing some live interviews on an ongoing basis on this show in the next couple of weeks. It's approximately 1 o'clock and we're nearing the end of our show. This show is dedicated to Black History Month, and I hope today that listeners have been able to gain more insight into police repression, but also insight into the suffering that black activists and political prisoners all over America, and in fact all over the world, have suffered. And we've had some amazing speakers on the show, including Angela Davis and Mamia Abu-Jamal, who is still in his cell, reporting from his cell. If you want to actually see some more commentaries by Mamia Abu-Jamal, go to prisonradio.org. It's an excellent website and it has a lot of really important material and important information produced about Mamia Abu-Jamal. He's an excellent journalist and he does have a hearing, or actually he's had a series of appeal hearings coming up. The main ones were in January, and I'll be bringing you some coverage about Mamia Abu-Jamal coming up on Behind the Bars of America in the next couple of weeks. So thank you to Awaken the Fire. Oh no. I've got to get you DJ. He's got a number of DJ names that he helped me provide some of the technical support for this show. If you want to download the show at a later date, please go to killradio.org and download from the archives. So it's goodbye from DJ Blind Chaos. Both in prison and out, stay strong and stay safe. Bye.